Holy presence here among us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and be among us. Come, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and revive us again, fill us again, so that we can continue to run this race. We invite you into our hearts and into our church, into our very lives. Lord God, come now. And Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking the other day, frankly yesterday, if I wasn't a Christian, I don't know what I would do. When you have been a Christian all your life, you can't figure yourself outside of being a Christian, right? If you've grown up in a Christian church and you've always been a Christian, sometimes I don't know if you ever wonder, what would I be? What would I do? Who would I worship? Would I be an atheist? Would I be, some other religion? What would I do? But thanks be to God, I don't have to really figure that out. It's all been taken care of for me, and I'm thankful to God for that. And my sermon title today is The Gift of Life, Eternal Life. And we see this text again about the bread of life, which we'll get to. But first I want to begin with the Psalm 111. And you know, we forget how great and awesome God is. So as my sermon title is The Gift of Life, and then eternal life. And first, I do believe we have to appreciate life, this gift that God has given us, first, before we could even ponder eternal life. Gotta appreciate. Oftentimes when I hear people complaining about little things, there are people who complain all the time about little things. They're always finding something to complain. No matter what you do, they're gonna find something to complain. Nothing is ever good enough. They don't look, we have a vast amount of resources right here among all of us in this church. The freedom to worship God, houses and places to live and cars to drive, whether they're brand new or they're not, we have been blessed with so many things. And I truly believe if we were to turn it around and be more grateful every day, we would have less to complain about. Because there's so many people have nothing at all in comparison to what we have. And so first we want to be thankful to God for the gift of life. The gift of life and the life we have here in the United States of America, here on Long Island. Because there are parts of America that life is not that great for other folks. Yet still, we live and move and have our being and breathe because of God. God shows, whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But if God chose not to wake us up this morning, we would not have been here. If the universe chose not to wake us up this morning, we wouldn't have been here today. There'd be a different story, wouldn't it? If he chose not to wake me up, it would be a different story this morning. I wouldn't be standing here. So we want to be like the songwriter and say, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be." And then the refrain says, "Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Don't you know every morning it's new mercy? Mercy that we don't even deserve? Because we're not all that good, you know. We may look good, but we're not all that good. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, thy very hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me, unto us. God has been faithful to us. If we had clothes to put on this morning, God has been faithful. Shoes to put on our feet, God has been faithful to us. Food to eat, God has been faithful to us. a bed to sleep in. God has been faithful to us. Oh, thanks be to God for his faithfulness. And then the songwriter will say in the last verse, it says, pardon of sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, he is faithful. He is merciful, he is loving, and he is kind. And so the psalmist writes in Psalm 111, this psalm is called a praise for God's wonderful works. Sometimes we just have to get up in the morning and just say, thank you, God. Do you ever do that? Thank you, God, that I could move. Thank you, God, that I could put one foot before the other. This is about life, the gift of life, and the abundance that we have received. We are here. No matter what our sickness or illnesses are, or the ups and downs we have. The psalmist begins, praise the Lord. I give you thanks. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright in the congregation. We're in the congregation. And I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart for the gift of life. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. And then he goes on, he says, he provides food for those who fear him. He is mindful of his covenant. Great is the Lord. The Lord is great. He's great because he's faithful to us. I want to share with you something that there are folks sometimes in our lives who are never have anything good to say. They only call you up when they have a complaint. You know you need to shut them down because they will make you not remember your blessings. You know that. You should decide in your life that you're not going, if you see somebody on Facebook who has nothing of thanksgiving and thank you God, that you shut them down. Right? Because guess what? You will not be able to praise God and give God thanks because you're always focusing on the negative. You got to work at it. Forget Twitter. I don't even know how that thing works. Would never go near it. There's enough activity on it. Don't need me. And texts. People who text you with things that it's never positive. You can't even thank God for what you have done. Have you ever taken a stock of your life and see what you have? And then every now and then you need to go in a poor area. Just go walk in somewhere that people don't have much. Just walk around and see what's going on. And if you don't want to do that, just go walk in the hospital. Every time I go to a nursing home or a hospital, I give God thanks that I'm not there. For his faithfulness, as I pray for the other people there. I says, oh Lord God, that I will not have to end up here, but if that be the case, I know you would be with me. This is what the psalmist is saying. To understand his good works that he has given us. Not taking it for granted. Teach our children that. Oh yes, sometimes we have and we give our children and they think it's because we just have because we made it all by ourselves. I told Zamzam yesterday, I was giving her the joke that when some of the family members call me, especially from Jamaica, I think they think I'm a bank. And I says, I am not the Bank of Jamaica. You know, they call up with a problem. I says, I'm not. It's God that gave me. And I said, the same God that gave me, I said, one to one cousin, will give you. And my cousin said to me, well, he hasn't reached to her yet. That she hasn't gotten what she's supposed to get, so she's calling me.
You're Bank of America.
Yes, Bank of America, I said, yes. So the thankfulness of God, and I said, maybe if you thank him more, he'll show up for you. Right? To be thankful and not take things for granted. The mere fact that we have this church to worship in, and we can freely worship, and it's clean when we come. We come on a Sunday and it's clean. And we could sit on the benches and we could hear the music play and the piano play. Beautiful music today. I thought somebody was going to take their phone out. I'm going to make a team who's cognizant of that, because that's not my job. And everybody has an iPhone. And if you love the music, take out your phone and record it quickly and send it to me by AirDrop. I said somebody was going to take it today. They're looking at it, but I said somebody's going to get up, because we're thankful for it. And when I put them on Facebook, it's because I want other people to be thankful of it. I like to share good things. When I hear beautiful music, I get up and I come down. Many pastors don't do that. One pastor asked me if I'm nuts. But I get up and come down if I remember. And if I got my, I'll come down and I'll take it so I could share this blessing to somebody else. They could hear this. They could, maybe they're home and they can't get to church. But if I put it on the church's Facebook, they could hear it and remember that God is for them. Because I am grateful for everything we do here to worship God. Grateful for the blessing. Focus on the positive. Give God thanks for what God has done for you. So this is life. And I think when you live a life, when you live a life of thankfulness, guess what? You have less pain and sorrow, less grief in your heart. Because you're so thankful for everything, even when it's small things. The psalmist is reminding them today to be thankful. It is said this psalm is classified as an individual hymn of thanksgiving, a psalm type in which the singer gives thanks to God for God's goodness in delivering him or her from various life-threatening situations such as illnesses, oppression, or enemy attack. The words of thanks by this individual worshiper are unusual, however, because they recount the event of what God has done. You know, there is a song they used to sing in the black churches. It goes like in the Baptist church, really. When I look over my life, of all that God has done for me, I've got a testimony. You know what? It's a testimony, right? I've got something to tell. Right? You know that song, Ron. It's a gospel beat. And if you really know it, I can't do it justice at all. But I've got a testimony. When I look over my life, all that God has done for me, I have got something to say, to tell somebody. God has been good. Is life perfect? No. But God is still good. And so we see the psalmist saying this today to remind us. And so the first part of my sermon is about life, the gift of life. We have a gift. We have been given a gift, life. And our life has not turned out that badly, has it? God has blessed us. And for that, we give thanks. Right? We can do things, and we could worship, and we could come to church, and we have wives and husbands and loved ones. And even when you get a divorce, you still give God thanks, because who knows, God probably took you out of that situation. You never know. You know what I'm saying. That is my argument, but that's all right for somebody else, you know. You give God thanks, because God has been good. You give God thanks for good friends, for fellowship. For somebody that you could call up and talk to positively, people who are depressed and commit suicide because they feel all alone. You give God thanks that you got a good friend. You got the young people says, what it says, a BFF. Am I getting it right, Jessica? A BFF, you know, they got their best, what does the BFF mean? They got their best girlfriend. Best friend forever. See what, I know it's a BFF at least. It's best friend forever. I didn't know what the acronym meant, but it's a BFF. I know there's friend in there somewhere. It's a good thing, isn't it? There are people without no BFF. Zamzam, do you have a BFF? You've got to get a BFF.
I have lots.
Praises be to the Lord. I like that, and I'll be saying BFF all the time. And I've got me several BFFs. Praises be to the Lord. So, and I give God thanks for that.
Amen.
That I could call on them. And they'll come. Or they'll say, what can I do to help? Or they'll say, talk to me, girl. What's going on? I could weep and we could get snotty nose together. We hold hands and we could sort it out together. That's a gift. Thanks be to God. And then so we know that we have a gift of life. An eternal life. Jesus is talking again. He won't give up on this thing about the bread. Because he wants them to get it. And today he pushes a little further. Because he gets a little bit. It's a text that some people don't even try to talk about so much. Because he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Right? And could you imagine those Jewish hearers of the word? They were flabbergasted. Why do you think they wanted to attack him? Remember, they've been under law. And the law, I told them, you got to have kosher. And blood can't touch the meat. You know what I'm saying. When I read the text, sometimes I smile. I say, Jesus, you're dangerous. You know, don't mess with him. When he's making a point, he doesn't play around. He's a Jew, and he knows. And these poor Pharisees, he already told them he's the bread that came down from heaven. And they're saying, you can't be the bread, because Moses already did. And they thought he was done. And then he says, no, I'm even going to tell you one better. You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the Bible says, what did the Bible say? They got crazy. He says, what's the matter with this man? He says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, it's early. So Jesus said, verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day.
Amen.
For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Now let me tell you, I'm a thinker like, and I'm kind of, if I were there, I'd be thinking and trying to think it through. And I'm sure I would have raised my hand. Like, what am I supposed to do now? How are we going to do this? Right? I'd be, because I'm not big on blood drinking. Right? And flesh eating. Right? I would be asking. But the argument there, one wish, you know, there was an exposition that Jesus left. But we know what he means. Because he says here, and I'm going to clarify it for you. He says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. So Jesus was not talking about literally eating his flesh. It's like a metaphor. He wasn't thinking you're going to bite his... He knew his father, God, had taken the pagan people before Abraham, when Abraham was just Abraham, and he was in pagan country, Mesopotamia. He took them out of what? Pagan lifestyle that were cannibals and sacrificing their children. Read Genesis, you know, read the Old Testament. He took them out of that culture to bring them into following Yahweh, the God of Israel, and the laws were established. Right? And the law on how you eat and how you clean was established. And Jesus did not come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he said it. I came. So this was a metaphor he was using. And he was using it in the rawest form to shock them into belief. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't abide me. He's saying, unless you take all of me into you, unless you believe in me, abide in me, you won't have eternal life. You have to take the entire person, not literally eat flesh, but you have to, you just can't talk about Jesus, you have to accept Jesus. You see, I come in here, it is a little bit of the Eucharist, you know, the Holy Communion. This part of the text is a little bit Eucharistic, it's a little bit about the bread. Given the bread, this is the body of Christ, take and eat. We say that every Sunday. The Roman Catholics really do believe when they eat the bread, they're really taking his body into it to them. We don't. Right? And so, it is a little bit of the Eucharist when he says, we say it on Sundays, this is the body of Christ, take and eat. This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. That's what we're saying, isn't it? We're not giving you meat and blood up here. Not under my charge anyhow. I don't know what may happen in the future, but who knows? Right? But we are doing what? We are taking the essence of his sacrifice for us. The essence of it. Taking it unto ourselves. We're saying, we just don't think you are Lord. We believe and we receive it. We believe and we receive it. It is the essence of this text. Right? Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. Whoever eats him, whoever takes him fully, because what does eating something means for us in the text? That we have what? We're filling ourselves with it. Right? We're taking it in, then you will have eternal life. This is the bread that came down from heaven. He said, because if you don't, you won't have eternal life. So I want to focus a little bit about an abiding. Because the key in this text is, you have to abide in me. You must abide in me. Abiding with Christ. Eat this bread and you will live, Jesus promises. But even more than that, eat this bread and I will abide with you and you will abide with me. And I do like the word abide. To abide is to know that no matter what comes our way, we will not be deserted, nor left to face whatever the matter is on our mind. Christ comes to live within us, to take up residence in our spirits, and promises never to leave us. So to abide is, when he abides with us, that means he's going to be with us all the time. Abide. To live in, to be with. I want to share this little reflection with you, parts of this reflection on the story here. The writer says, over the years I have witnessed many scenes of this abiding presence played out in the lives of persons I have known. None more powerful, more moving, more meaningful than the images which walk across my mind of faithful spouses who care for each other to the very end. The writer says, let me draw them for you. There is one now, walking his wife, a victim of Alzheimer's disease, down the streets in front of the nursing home. She's in a wheelchair, not knowing a thing. He's pushing her faithfully day after day. Their love for more than 60 years abides in his heart. Lives in his heart. 60 years. And now she's going through terrible times and he can't let her go. This is what it means. The writer is trying to tell you, when the Lord says when you accept him, he will abide with you through good time and bad time. He'll be abide with you when you take him in now and when you're taking him then. Here's another. The picture of a woman standing beside the bed of her husband, holding a hand, offering a calm, reassuring voice to this one who has only moments before been thrown into convulsions. And she says, I will not leave you. An image of Christ. No matter what, I will not leave you because you are abiding with me. That's when we take all of him in. We don't leave any of it on the shelf. We don't leave any of the crumbs in the plate. We eat it all. We take it. He will abide with us. Finally, here is the unspoken presence of a loving friend who calms my own grieving spirit, the writer says, in the dark hospital room where my father lays dying. And then I remember, those who eat my flesh abide in me, and I am in them. And so the Lord is abiding. Yes, if there is a difference between believing in Jesus and receiving Jesus. We saw that a little bit in the movie we watched. Hard movie to see,
But those folks, not just, they did not just believe, just didn't believe Jesus, or they thought Jesus was a good man. No, they took him all in till the very end. They took him all in till the very end. They said yes to Jesus, and they never stopped. Not easy, very hard. You see, this one thing of abiding with Christ is what we all need to do. Because what lays ahead of us, we are going to need the strength to abide with him. Because he will abide with us. And so we see in this world, in a world of fast food chains in every village and every drive-through windows, there's buffet lines and all eat, people could eat everything. But none of them gives us the bread of life. The bread of life. How good God is. God gave us life, life, and then God would give us eternal life. Life, I'm reading a book called, Strike the Last Arrow. What is it? The Last Arrow. The Last Arrow. And the writer says, leave nothing for eternity. Whatever you're doing for Christ, you do it now. He was a speaker to do it now because we don't need anything for eternity. Because everything for eternity has already been prepared for us. Don't need anything. He says, do what you've got to do for Christ now. Do what you've got to do in your life now. Do it now and do it well. Run the race because everything in eternity has been taken care of. And he came to that understanding, well-known big church Mosaic, after being diagnosed with cancer. Stage 4, he survived it. And his book is The Last Arrow. We all have a last arrow. I'm striking mine for Christ until the end. Strike it for Christ. Put the bow on and says, Lord, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. Because we're abiding in him. Abiding in him until the very end. And so that's what it means when he says, eat my bread, eat my body and drink the blood. He's saying, take all of me. Not parts of me. Don't parcel me up. I always get, as I close, get a little bit upset when people tell me, they say, oh, I haven't seen them in a long time. They never talk about God. Even friends that I know, and they called me up last minute, never come to the church. Never come to church with me, never say anything about God. And then something happens and they call up and they want a little bit of God. And I always say, you know, your faith is not a supermarket. My faith is not a supermarket. When you need a little bit of broccoli, you come to shop. Somebody else is putting the broccoli there all the time, taking care. It is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ and working out your soul salvation every day. Every day. Some days we fall short. Some days we don't get it right. It's all right. God is faithful and just. Because he gives us food for our what? Our hungry soul. For our hungry soul. And so today, friends, we truly should rejoice. And give God thanks because we have the gift of life. Don't we have the gift of life in here? Amen. We could breathe. We look good, relatively. You know, we got to tuck things in, speak for myself, make it right. Put on our Spanx, whatever it may be, but we look good. We click it all in together. Nobody knows. I've got to bring it home because, you know, I could go off on a deep end. You know that. No, not me. You know, you have to tuck things in, tie it around, put it on. But we look good. We have got the gift of life. And then the hope of eternal life. And as I close, can you imagine? I will not need no Spanx in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.